What's the selection process? How do you become a snowbird or a maintenance technician?
I can answer that one. So basically, every red suit or every pilot is an active service member within the military. We all have various backgrounds. It works out. I'm an F-18 pilot since 2000, essentially. We've got various backgrounds. Like I said, we've got some helicopter pilots, some fighter guys on the team, transport pilots, instructors. And it all begins with being interested to have a snowbird tryout to make the team. So to be a pilot on the snowbirds, you need to, one, let your leadership know on the squadron that you're currently serving. Again, you need their recommendation. A recommendation with somewhat of a resume makes it to the snowbirds. And then now the current team grabs all these files, and we basically look at all the pilots across Canada that are interested in a snowbird tryout. And we generally take 8 pilots, and we do a 3-week tryout with 8 pilots with the intention of select 4 of them. So the ideal turnover rate for the snowbirds is every year 4 pilots make the team, with every other year a 5th pilot makes the team, which is the snowbird lead position. As I mentioned earlier, the snowbird lead needs to have spent 2 years on the team as a wingman in the past, and they're more appointed to that position, whereas the other positions have an official tryout.
All right, we'll pick on some of the other ones. Steve Reed, what was your motivation to try out to be a snowbird?
The motivation for me was just as a young kid, you know, I saw the snowbirds perform. It really inspired me to choose the career path that I chose to become a military pilot. And so I just wanted to return the favor to showcase, you know, what I could do. It was the flying. The flying is unlike anything else you can do anywhere else. It's a huge part of the job. But one of the parts that really impressed me the most and I enjoy the most actually is the travel and the meeting people. You know, we get to travel all over North America, go to different communities, see how they live, and really connect with the community there. So that's one of the best parts for me.
Good. Any nerves when you were trying out for the team?
When you're trying out? Definitely. It was probably one of the most nerve-wracking experiences of my life. As military pilots, we're used to constant feedback and being told where we stand, how we're doing. The snowbird tryout, there's none of that. You just show up, you do your trip, and then at the end of it, you're told whether you made it or not, and you get assigned your number as well. But it was completely nerve-wracking, not knowing where you stand.
Good. Talk a little bit about the show that we're going to see this weekend. You're flying tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. What differentiates your show from maybe some of the other jet teams that we've seen? I'll leave that to...
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. So our versus the U.S. jet teams, obviously, we have 3 more aircraft, so a 9 aircraft demonstration versus a 6 aircraft demonstration. Our show itself is about 32 minutes, start to end, with what we call an opener, which lasts about 7 to 8 minutes with all 9 craft in formations, looping and rolling, including vertical changes of formations in loops, and then followed on by a split from there. After that's completed, we move into what we call our integrated portion, where you'll see anywhere from 7 to 2 aircraft at a time in various formations. I almost call it a bit Cirque du Soleil-ish with misdirection. So you'll see aircraft come in from one direction, then they'll reverse and come in from a different direction, always trying to keep the time with an offstage time where there's nothing happening less than 15 seconds. So there should almost always be an aircraft in front of you. At the completion of the integrated portion of the show, we get back together for our closer, where again you'll see all 9 aircraft in formation, finishing up with what we call the Canada Burst. And then if we're lucky and the weather allows and the fuel allows it, we'll do a couple extra passes at the end. So it makes for a pretty good show. 32 minutes, it's about the perfect length to, you know, keep the interest for everybody and keep it exciting.
Good. And you have 3 different versions of the show that you fly, high show, medium, and low show. So pretty much, unless we go IFR, we'll be able to see you fly.
Yeah, absolutely. So our weather limits are luckily more favorable for our jet, being that it's a little slower and the altitudes are a bit lower. So if we only need a 4,500-foot ceiling to do a high show, down to 1,500-foot for a low show, and then, I mean, if it's pretty lousy, we can get down to 1,000 feet for our flat show. So we can usually put on a show for everybody.
All right. For some of the other pilots, what is it like to fly the Tudor? Crank said he's F-18. I mean, that's fast. afterburners. Tudor is a little slower, a little more graceful, but talk about how it is to fly that airplane.
That's a good question, actually. I came off the CF-18, which is Canada's version of the F-A-18 as well. So it's night and day. For one, the flying is much different. So in the F-18, being a war aircraft, it's meant to be tactically flown. So it's actually very easy to fly. It's all essentially automated. And you point it, and it goes where you point it. And you're in charge of the battle space, and you're thinking about tactics and everything like that. The Tudor, on the other hand, it won't go for long where you point it. So you have to be hands and feet flying, kind of the more pure form of flying throughout the flight. And a lot of people that I've talked to, either past snowbirds or current members, and myself included, are of the opinion that like the CF-18 in this case, or a Sea King, for example, is like the truck, the workhorse, the Suburban, if you will, of your flying career, whereas the Tudor is kind of the Miata or the dad's little sports car, where you take it out for a rip on the weekends, and it's smaller, it's a little more nimble, and it's got kind of that, pardon the francophoneness, but the je ne sais quoi to it that you can't quite put your finger on it. It's not quite as tangible, but it responds a little differently. You feel it differently, and it's just a great formation. It's quite evident why it was a train aircraft for almost 40 years in the Royal Canadian Air Force, and why it makes such a good formation flyer for us. It's just very hands and feet flying, kind of that pure element to it.
What's the range of speed that you use during the show?
So normally during the show, we'll generally get as slow as probably 110 to 120 knots in. Usually you'll see that over top of the loops, and as fast as generally around 300 knots. So that allows us, usually we'll plan our bottom side passes in front of the audience around 280 knots. So there is quite a bit of time that we're hanging there in front of the audience at Show Center, as opposed to, say, ripping by at 500 knots, which we cannot do.
Okay. Now, are you looking not only for people who are obviously the best of the best, both pilots and maintenance, but how do you select the chemistry that goes with this? Because obviously, you've got a large group, you are on the road from May through October, right? You got to have a good group of people that you want to spend the year with. How do you get the chemistry of the team?
It's twofold. Some of it you know from working together to begin with, and some of it just comes as you go. We head out in April to do a spring training at Comox. The pilots stretch their legs on the aircraft, and we're away from the squadron for the first time. And this is at the point where you take these guys that you think are going to work well together. We bring extra bodies out because we change techs out throughout the season. You figure out, you know, who works well together. And then we may change our swing plan based on that. But it's all dynamics.
The training that goes into this, you modify the show every year to fit the team. How do you go about, you know, changing things up to make things different every year?
Well, when I showed up and when I got selected as team lead, I showed up to the squadron with my own ideas. Again, the snowbirds are in their 46th year, so there's really only so many maneuvers that can be thought of outside of the box. The snowbirds have a massive repertoire of different formations that we can fly. I mean, that's the luxury of having 9 airplanes, and the 32-minute show isn't enough time to fly all of those formations. So, you know, I came in, when I showed up at the squadron, it was the month of August. The 2015 team was still on the road doing air shows. I was getting checked out on the airplane, getting my hand back into flying the Tudor, and I just kind of started brainstorming on different things that I wanted to do on my first year as being team lead. I obviously didn't want to take too big of a bite and then not be able to achieve it. So in my mind, what I wanted to do this year, as Ragtop Abe was talking about at the beginning, our show starts, the first 7 minutes is all 9 airplanes, and you can imagine, you know, the wider a formation is, the slower the ability I have to roll the formation before I start losing or destabilizing the formation. So in my mind, I wanted that first 7 minutes to be the narrowest formations that we can fly. which then allows me the opportunity to really maneuver the formation quite aggressively, both in the horizontal and the vertical. And then Ave, everybody's got a secondary duty, and my number two this year is my training officer, so myself and him kind of sat down and kind of brainstormed different ideas. Obviously, some are good ideas, some are bad ideas. The formations, flying the nine plane is one thing, but once we get into the integrated, number eight is the lead solo, so we kind of incorporated him into the discussion on what the solo maneuvers wanted to look like. And some of it worked, some of it didn't. We had to go back to the drawing board. You know, if the speeds, exit speeds don't match up and we don't rejoin in time and we discover that there's a big delay in the show, then we kind of go back to the drawing board and kind of try something different. Again, looking at the shows of the last 15, 20 years, they are somewhat similar, but if you really look at them closely, they are quite different as well. So. That is the real neat thing with the snowbirds. I mean, again, a lot of this stuff too can, you know, you can draw this stuff up on a napkin and you can really get some great ideas sitting at the bar in a napkin, that's for sure.
That's sometimes where the best ideas come from.
It's true. Yeah.